Welcome to the Summary Podcast, presented by Suncoast Venture Studio. The Summary takes dense, complex topics and breaks them down into engaging, approachable conversations for everyone involved in building something extraordinary on the Suncoast. Join us on our journey as we explore a constantly shifting landscape of insights, ideas, and fascinating tidbits. Let's get started.
Welcome to The Summary, a Suncoast Venture Studio podcast. We're diving deep today into two organizations that are really at the heart of keeping our Suncoast region thriving.
Absolutely.
The Sarasota Bay Estuary Program,
or yes.
SBEP,
mm-hmm.
and the Conservation Foundation of the Gulf Coast.
Right.
They're doing some really amazing work to protect and restore our natural environment.
Yeah, they both have fascinating histories and different approaches to doing that work.
Let's kind of unpack this mm-hmm. by first going back in time a little bit.
Okay.
Can you give us a little background on how these organizations came to be and what their core missions are?
Sure. So the Sarasota Bay Estuary Program has been around for over 30 years.
Wow.
It started as a facilitator, really bringing together all these diverse groups.
Okay.
You know, citizen scientists, local governments, and even state and federal agencies.
Wow. So it's really kind of a collaborative effort.
Exactly. It's all about collaboration. To protect Sarasota Bay, and they work together to create and implement what's called a Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan,
okay.
or CCMP.
Got it.
And that really acts as a roadmap for keeping the bay healthy.
I like that.
And so everybody's kind of has their role to play.
Yeah. That's a fantastic model for community-driven conservation.
Yeah.
Now, what about the Conservation Foundation? What's their story?
The Conservation Foundation focuses on a broader geographical area. So they work in Manatee, Sarasota, Charlotte, and Lee counties.
Oh, wow.
Their mission is to conserve land and protect wildlife with a major emphasis on preserving habitats.
And given Florida's rapid development and the challenges of rising sea levels, it seems like their work is more critical than ever.
You're absolutely right. Protecting the physical spaces where these animals and plants live, that's really at the heart of their mission.
Speaking of challenges, what are some of the most pressing issues facing Sarasota Bay today? I know our listeners are particularly interested in learning more about this.
One of the biggest threats to the bay's health is nutrient pollution. So excess nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus find their way into the water from sources like stormwater runoff,
right.
wastewater treatment plants, and it's kind of like over-fertilizing a garden.
Okay.
You know, it leads to this explosion of harmful algal blooms, including red tide.
Yeah, and red tide is just devastating to the marine life, the water quality, even the economy.
Absolutely. It's a top concern
yeah.
for many people in our community, and it really highlights how interconnected our waterways are.
Right.
You know, for example, back in 2021, there was a significant industrial wastewater discharge incident in Tampa Bay.
Oh, really?
And guess what? It impacted Sarasota Bay as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So even though the discharge occurred in Tampa Bay, it triggered these massive blooms of phytoplankton and macroalgae, which are basically microscopic plants and seaweeds. And as these blooms grow, they deplete the oxygen in the water, creating what's known as a dead zone.
Oh, wow.
Which severely harms marine life.
That's alarming. It sounds like this domino effect where one event can have these far-reaching consequences.
Yeah, it really underscores the delicate balance of our coastal ecosystem and the importance of responsible environmental management.
Beyond that 2021 incident, we can't forget about Hurricane Ian, which really devastated parts of our state last year.
Right.
Did the hurricane also affect water quality in Sarasota Bay?
Yes. Hurricane Ian did have a notable impact. While Sarasota Bay showed its resilience by mostly recovering its water quality within a month, the storm served as a stark reminder that we're dealing with both natural events and human-induced pollution.
It emphasizes the need for that multi-pronged approach, addressing both immediate threats and long-term challenges.
Well, got it. We need to be prepared for whatever comes our way, both natural and man-made.
Well, it's clear that we're facing some pretty serious issues, but I'm also curious to hear about the positive side.
Sure.
What are some of the initiatives underway that are actually showing some promising results in counteracting these problems?
There's a lot to be hopeful about. For instance, Sarasota County has made significant progress in converting septic systems to central sewer service, especially within the Philippi Creek watershed.
And Philippi Creek, that's a major tributary flowing into Sarasota Bay. Why has it been such a focus for these conversion efforts?
Philby Creek was identified as a significant contributor to nutrient pollution in the bay because of its reliance on septic systems.
I see.
So as of late 2021, they've successfully connected about 73% of the planned households and businesses to the central sewer system.
That's amazing.
Which represents a major step towards cleaner water.
Yeah, it really is a testament to the power of focused efforts and community collaboration.
Yeah, for sure.
What other positive developments have you observed?
Another great example is the advancements in wastewater treatment facilities.
Okay.
So several plants in Sarasota and Manatee counties have been upgraded to meet advanced wastewater treatment standards.
So the treated water released back into the environment is now significantly cleaner.
Exactly. These upgrades play a vital role in reducing that nutrient load entering Sarasota Bay.
This all sounds very encouraging. I know our listener is always eager to hear about ways to get involved.
Sure.
What are some of the community programs or initiatives that individuals can participate in to actually help protect the bay?
One fantastic program is the SBEP's Bay Partners Grants.
Okay.
So each year, they award $100,000 in grants to support community projects focused on improving water quality.
Wow.
Enhancing habitats and promoting environmental education.
That's fantastic.
It's a great way for local groups to make a tangible impact.
That's a phenomenal opportunity for residents to contribute directly to the bay's well-being. Are there any other noteworthy programs that stand out?
There's this fascinating initiative called the Gulf Coast Oyster Recycling and Renewal Program.
Oysters.
Wow.
That sounds intriguing. Tell me more.
So they collect oyster shells from local restaurants.
Okay.
And instead of ending up in landfills, these shells are recycled and used to create new oyster habitats in the bay.
So it sounds like a win-win situation, reducing waste while bolstering oyster reefs.
Exactly. And the community's directly involved.
Oh.
Volunteers help bag and deploy the oyster shells, making a hands-on contribution to restoring the bay's ecosystem.
What a great way to combine environmental stewardship with community engagement.
Yeah.
And I recall another community-driven initiative that focused on replacing invasive Australian pines on Siesta Key with native plants.
Yes, that project was instrumental in restoring the natural balance of the ecosystem.
Right.
Over 400 native plants were planted, transforming the landscape and providing a more suitable habitat for native species.
It's just amazing to see the impact that collective action can have on restoring our natural environment.
It is.
These examples truly show how we can all be part of the solution.
I completely agree. Every effort, big or small, contributes to a healthier and more resilient Sarasota Bay.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive, exploring the origins and missions of both the SBEP and the Conservation Foundation, the pressing challenges facing Sarasota Bay, and some of the inspiring community programs making a positive difference.
Yeah, it's been a great start to the conversation, highlighting the dedication and passion of these organizations.
We'll be back with part two, where we'll delve deeper into recent news and events related to these groups and their efforts. So stay tuned.
Sounds good.
Are you a leader sitting on untapped potential? Have a solution to a pressing industry challenge? Or a groundbreaking concept waiting to take flight? At Suncoast Venture Studio, we specialize in transforming ideas into venture-scale businesses that solve real-world problems and drive lasting impact. We're more than just a venture studio. We're your innovation partner. Whether it's unlocking value from corporate innovation, translating university research into commercial ventures, or addressing systemic issues in government and beyond, we have the tools, expertise, and network to bring your vision to life. Let's transform challenges into opportunities and ideas into thriving ventures. Together, we're not just launching startups. We're building Florida's Venture Coast. Ready to make an impact? Visit suncoast.studio to connect with us today.
Welcome back to The Summary,
where we're continuing our exploration of the Sarasota Bay Estuary Program and the Conservation Foundation of the Gulf Coast.
We've laid the groundwork now. Let's delve into some recent developments and exciting news surrounding these organizations.
I'm eager to hear what's been happening. Our listeners always tuned in to the latest updates.
Well, there's been a significant development regarding funding for critical infrastructure improvements.
Okay.
Local stakeholders have committed to investing almost $1 billion over the next 5 to 10 years to enhance wastewater and stormwater systems.
Wow, $1 billion. That's a massive investment. What's driving this level of commitment?
It's directly tied to the ambitious goal set by SBEP to reduce nitrogen loads entering Sarasota Bay by 20%. This investment is a major step towards achieving that target and improving the overall health of the bay.
And this connects to that substantial loan that Sarasota County received from the EPA through the Water Infrastructure Finance and Innovation Act, right?
Absolutely. That loan, a remarkable $105 million, will be used to upgrade the Bee Ridge Wastewater Treatment Plant to advanced wastewater treatment levels.
Wow.
It's a prime example of how federal funding can empower local communities to reach their environmental goals.
It's encouraging to see such a substantial financial commitment toward protecting our waterways. Are there other collaborative efforts happening on a regional scale?
There are some great examples of regional partnerships tackling the challenges facing the Bay. One prominent initiative is the Tampa Bay Regional Resilience Coalition.
Okay.
It brings together counties and municipalities from across the Tampa Bay area, including Manatee and Sarasota counties,
okay,
to address the impacts of climate change on the entire region.
That's a smart approach. Climate change doesn't adhere to county lines, so regional collaboration is essential.
Exactly. Recognizing the interconnectedness of our environment is key to effectively addressing these complex issues. And on a more local level, the Sarasota Manatee Climate Council is actively working to address climate change issues right here in our community.
Great.
It's inspiring to see experts from various fields coming together to develop solutions tailored to our region.
These partnerships demonstrate a powerful commitment to protecting the long-term health of Sarasota Bay. Shifting gears a bit, let's dive into the financial aspects of these organizations. How are they funded, and what can you tell us about their future outlook?
The Sarasota Bay Estuary Program's FY24 work plan budget provides valuable insights into their financial structure.
Okay.
There are diverse funding sources, including EPA grants, contributions from the Southwest Florida Water Management District, and funding from both Manatee and Sarasota counties showcase a strong commitment from various levels of government.
So this multifaceted funding approach seems like a smart strategy for ensuring long-term stability. How is that budget allocated?
Well, their spending priorities clearly reflect their commitment to addressing the key challenges facing the Bay. A significant portion is allocated to the implementation of their Reasonable Assurance Plan,
okay,
which aims to reduce nutrient pollution. They also dedicate funds to water quality monitoring.
Makes sense.
A crucial aspect of tracking progress and identifying potential issues early on.
You can't manage what you don't measure what other areas receive significant funding.
They also prioritize community action programs, including those Bay Partner Grants we discussed earlier, which empower local groups to take ownership of protecting and restoring the Bay.
Great, and importantly, 40% of their bipartisan infrastructure law funds are dedicated to projects benefiting disadvantaged communities.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It highlights their focus on both environmental health and social equity. Can you give us some concrete examples of how these BIL funds are being used?
Certainly, one project involves shoreline habitat restoration and stormwater treatment east of Cortez. This initiative improves water quality while also providing benefits to the local community.
It's wonderful to see those dual benefits in action. What are some other projects?
There's also a stream restoration project in Bradenton's GT Bray Park.
Okay.
This project aims to enhance water quality in the Braden River, which eventually flows into the bay. It will also create a more beautiful and natural park space for the community to enjoy.
What a wonderful way to combine environmental restoration with community recreation.
And finally, they're using BIL funds to expand artificial reefs in the bay. This initiative boosts habitat for fish and other marine life, which benefits both the ecosystem and the local fishing industry.
These projects demonstrate a holistic approach to protecting and restoring the bay, recognizing the interconnectedness of the environment, the economy, and the well-being of our community. What about the Conservation Foundation? What's their approach to funding and their vision for the future?
The Conservation Foundation is equally committed to transparency with their annual reports and financial statements readily accessible on their website. They've effectively secured funding from various sources, including private donations, corporate sponsorships, foundation grants, and government programs.
That diversification of funding sources is crucial for any nonprofit organization, especially one working in the ever-evolving field of conservation.
Absolutely. It provides stability and flexibility. Their focus on connecting protected lands to create corridors for wildlife is central to their future plans.
We touched on their ambitious goal of creating a wildlife corridor that stretches from Duet Preserve down to the Everglades.
Right. It's a visionary project that underscores their understanding that conservation efforts need to extend beyond individual parcels of land to create a connected network of protected areas.
What other aspects of their work are they looking to expand or enhance?
Community engagement remains a top priority. They're committed to expanding their educational programs, community events, and outreach initiatives to foster a deeper understanding and appreciation for conservation efforts.
It sounds like both the SBEP and the Conservation Foundation are well positioned for a bright future thanks to their clear vision, dedicated staff, strong community support, and a sound financial foundation.
I wholeheartedly agree. They're making a tangible difference for Sarasota Bay and the entire region.
Before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'd love to delve a bit deeper into the Conservation Foundation's work, particularly their focus on bird conservation.
Sure. They've actually received recognition for their bird conservation efforts from organizations like the Cornell Lab of Ornithology.
Oh, wow.
Their work really highlights the interconnectedness of land conservation and bird conservation.
That's impressive. What are some of the specific initiatives they're undertaking to protect bird populations?
One of their key strategies involves developing detailed conservation plans that prioritize the protection of specific areas based on the needs of particular bird species.
It's not just about protecting any land. It's about identifying and safeguarding the habitats that are most crucial for the survival of vulnerable bird populations.
So that's a very targeted approach. Can you give us an example?
Certainly, their work on Siesta Key to protect a critical nesting site for the snowy plover is a great example.
Okay.
The snowy plover is a species facing various threats, and the Conservation Foundation recognized the importance of safeguarding the specific location to help ensure their continued presence in our region.
It sounds like they're taking a very strategic approach to bird conservation. What other aspects of their work are noteworthy?
They're very focused on connecting those protected lands.
Right.
They understand that birds need to be able to move freely between different habitats.
Right.
They're working toward creating a vast wildlife corridor that stretches from Duet Preserve in Manatee County all the way down to the Everglades, eventually connecting with the Florida Wildlife Corridor. It's amazing to see their vision extending beyond individual species and encompassing the larger landscape. What are some of the challenges they face in pursuing such an ambitious project?
Funding, as always, is a significant challenge for conservation organizations. However, the Conservation Foundation has been remarkably successful in securing funding from a variety of sources, including private and corporate donations, demonstrating the strong community support for their mission.
It's fantastic to see that level of community buy-in their work. Truly underscores the importance of connecting protected lands, not just for birds, but for the overall health and resilience of the ecosystem.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that everything is interconnected from the smallest bird to the vast landscapes that support them.
Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up part two of our deep dive into the work of the Sarasota Bay Estuary Program and the Conservation Foundation of the Gulf Coast.
Agreed. We've explored some of their recent accomplishments, their financial strategies, and their vision for the future. We'll be back with part three to delve into their financial performance and explore what lies ahead for these two vital organizations.
Are you a seasoned founder, retired executive, or industry leader with expertise to share? At Suncoast Venture Studio, we're building Florida's Venture Coast, a hub for innovation and high growth startups. And we need your talent. Join us as a mentor, advisor, or collaborator. Help shape the next wave of scalable startups. Guide entrepreneurs through pivotal moments and stay connected to the excitement of venture creation. Whether you're offering insights, joining an advisory board, or getting hands-on with ideation, your experience can make a lasting impact. Be part of something bigger. Together, we'll create thriving ventures and a vibrant ecosystem right here in Southwest Florida. Visit suncoast.studio to connect with us and start building Florida's Venture Coast.
We're wrapping up our deep dive into the impressive work of the Sarasota Bay Estuary Program and the Conservation Foundation of the Gulf Coast.
We've covered their history, the challenges facing Sarasota Bay, inspiring community programs, recent developments, and their vision for the future.
Right.
Now let's take a closer look at their financials and what lies ahead.
Sounds good. Let's start with the SBEP. Their financial structure is a model of diversity and transparency.
I'm curious to hear more about that. How do they ensure financial stability while tackling such complex issues?
Well, they've cultivated a funding model that draws from a variety of sources. This includes funding from the EPA, the Southwest Florida Water Management District, and contributions from both Manatee and Sarasota counties.
That's a smart approach, spreading the responsibility and ensuring they're not solely reliant on any single funding source.
Exactly. It provides a buffer against fluctuations in funding from any one source, and their commitment to transparency shines through in their readily available annual budgets and work plans posted on their website.
That openness is so important for building public trust and demonstrating accountability.
Yeah.
Speaking of their budget, what are some of the key takeaways from their FY24 budget?
Their budget priorities align perfectly with the issues we've been discussing. They've allocated a significant portion of their resources to their reasonable assurance plan.
I see. So a substantial part of their budget is dedicated to ensuring they meet those stringent water quality targets.
Precisely. They've also made significant investments in water quality monitoring. Having accurate and up-to-date data is essential for tracking progress and identifying any emerging issues.
That makes perfect sense. You can't effectively manage what you're not measuring. What are some other notable funding priorities?
They continue to champion community action programs like the Bay Partner Grants.
Okay.
These grants empower local groups to be active participants in protecting and restoring the Bay, fostering a sense of shared responsibility.
It's fantastic to see them investing in grassroots efforts and recognizing the power of community involvement.
Absolutely. And their commitment to environmental justice is evident in their decision to allocate 40% of their bipartisan infrastructure law funding to projects that benefit disadvantaged communities.
That's commendable. It's not just about protecting the environment. It's about ensuring that everyone benefits from a healthy and thriving ecosystem.
Precisely, they're taking a holistic approach, considering the interconnectedness of environmental health and social equity. Now let's shift gears and look at the Conservation Foundation. What insights can you share about their financial model and future plans?
I'm eager to hear more about their approach.
The Conservation Foundation is equally committed to financial transparency. Their annual reports and financial statements are readily available on their website, providing a clear picture of their financial health and how they allocate resources.
That kind of transparency is so refreshing and builds confidence in their work.
Absolutely. And they've been successful in securing funding from a diverse range of sources. We're talking private donations, corporate sponsorships, foundation grants, and government programs.
That diversified funding strategy provides a strong foundation for stability and resilience.
Exactly. It allows them to weather fluctuations in funding from any one source and pursue their long-term vision with confidence. Their focus on connecting protected lands to create corridors for wildlife is a cornerstone of their future plans.
We discussed their ambitious vision of a wildlife corridor stretching from Duet Preserve all the way down to the Everglades, connecting with the Florida Wildlife Corridor. It's a remarkable undertaking.
It's a testament to their understanding that conservation requires a landscape-level approach connecting fragmented habitats to create a more resilient ecosystem for wildlife.
What other initiatives are they focusing on as they look to the future?
They remain deeply committed to community engagement. Expanding their educational programs and outreach efforts is a top priority. They're passionate about fostering a deeper understanding and appreciation for conservation among residents and visitors alike.
It sounds like both the SBEP and the Conservation Foundation are in an excellent position to continue their incredible work for many years to come. They have a clear vision, a dedicated team, strong community support, and a sound financial foundation.
I wholeheartedly agree. Their efforts are making a tangible difference for Sarasota Bay and for our entire region.
And it's inspiring to see how their work extends beyond just environmental protection, encompassing social equity and community well-being as well.
They're leading by example, demonstrating that we can create a future where both people and nature thrive.
Well, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into the extraordinary work of the Sarasota Bay Estuary Program and the Conservation Foundation of the Gulf Coast. It's been a fascinating journey exploring their history, their challenges, their triumphs, and their vision for a brighter future for Sarasota Bay.
It's been a pleasure sharing this information with you and our listener. I hope it inspires everyone to consider how they can contribute to the well-being of this incredible natural treasure.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Summary of Suncoast Venture Studio podcast. We'll be back with another deep dive soon, exploring more fascinating topics that impact our community.